Hello and welcome to Parkinson's Pathway Pals, Tuesdays with Teresa. I'm Teresa Jackson, your podcast host. Today, my guest is Molly Donlin. Molly is the director of Sport Rock Climbing Centers in Alexandria, Virginia, where she's been working and climbing for over 14 years. Molly was able to combine her love of climbing as well as her passion for neuroscience when she started a Parkinson's climbing group at Sport Rock over 10 years ago. The group has grown from the Fidgety Five, as they self-proclaim their group name, to the Shaky Six and beyond. In May of 2022, Molly started Upending Parkinson's, a nonprofit that Molly hopes will grow programs like the one started at Sport Rock to educate others about the benefits of rock climbing for those living with Parkinson's disease. And with a lot of help and maybe a little luck, even insurance may cover this activity one day. Also joining us today are two special guests, fellow climbers with Parkinson's, Teresa Bennett and Michelle Sloan. Welcome, Molly, Teresa, and Michelle.
Thank you for having us. Thanks for having me back again. I'm excited.
I'm excited to have you and to bring along a couple of our friends with us today. I think this will be a good discussion, and I think that the people listening are going to really benefit from that. And so with that said, Molly, I know that you're starting Upending Parkinson's. Can you give us a brief overview of what that actually is?
Sure. So it's an organization we started, and Teresa and Michelle are actually on the board of the organization as well. One of the reasons I want them to join this conversation. And it's really to help spread the word about rock climbing and Parkinson's, start programs in other gyms across the country, and fun studies. We're going to work on one at some point, and educate people.
I'm sorry, Molly, we had a little glitch there. I heard you say educate people.
Educate people and get them into rock climbing.
Well, what does a rock climbing session look like?
So the way the first program we ever started, the way that one runs is it's a 1-hour session. We've grown, so it meets now 3 times a week at 2 separate locations that you can pick from. And people come in and, I'll have Teresa and Michelle go into detail a little bit more later. But people come in, we get them a harness, we get them set up. They don't need to bring anything special with them. And we tie them into the rock and we get them climbing. There's a different levels of climbs all over the gym and different angles of walls. So just because somebody's brand new doesn't mean they can't make it to the top of some sort of wall in our gym. So the success rate is pretty high. And the first time people come in, it's very exhilarating, I would say.
Yeah, it is indeed. Where are your sessions? I know one's in Alexandria, but for anybody that might be listening, where might they be able to access this type of exercise?
So, yep, we have Alexandria meet twice a week, and then our Sterling location, Sterling, Virginia, meets once a week. And then we are in the works. Actually, I'm having a meeting with a gentleman next week with starting a gym in Richmond, Virginia, that will have a program. And outside of this area, there's one in Ohio and one in North Carolina, and we can give contact info and people can reach out and I can kind of help them, guide them to different gyms. And I'm working on one in New York also for Teresa.
Oh, how exciting. That's very, very exciting. And when we end today, let's make sure that we have someone, you provide the contact information if someone is interested in not just climbing, but if they're interested in starting a gym in their area, what that might look like. But we'll wait till the end to go through that. So you've provided an overview of Upending Parkinson's, and we've talked a little bit about what a climbing session looks like, but who is it that's really accessing the rock climbing in the Upending Parkinson's group? Who does that? Who is that?
So the people who are participants in the group are, it's anyone with Parkinson's, sometimes family members as well, But anyone with Parkinson's, and our ages range from people in their 30s to people in their mid 80s. And, you know, our oldest climber will probably be with us for the next 10 years. So I can't wait to tell people we have a climber in our mid 90s. and it's people who have been diagnosed at, with Parkinson's at different stages. Some people come in and they were recently diagnosed, and then other people come in and they've had it for 10 years. A whole range of people.
So what I'm hearing, and what I'll make sure that the audience would want to hear or need to know as well, I think, is that just because you're not 35 doesn't mean you can't rock climb.
Correct. Our oldest climber is not our least successful climber. He is one of our best climbers, actually. So, I mean, really, anyone can come in and be successful. It's really a sport against yourself too, which is kind of neat. So you can always get better against yourself.
Yeah. Well, last time we talked a lot about the neuroscience, or the science of why you think climbing movement is specifically good for climbing or for an exercise for Parkinson's. So today I thought we might touch a bit more on what that experience is like.
Yeah. So I guess this is probably a good point for Michelle and Teresa. How about start with Michelle?
Do
you want to chime in, Michelle? And I don't know, just I feel like hearing from the people firsthand that are doing it, I can tell, you know, the audience what I see from my perspective, which is a lot of success. And I'll get into that more. But I just feel like it's important to hear it from the people who are participate, you know, and it's been 9 years, 10 years almost since Michelle started climbing with me.
Eight years.
Why don't you share with us what was it like the first time you climbed?
It was fabulous. I was, before I started climbing and I heard I got Parkinson's, I put me pretty much into a very deep depression. And I just felt like, you know, I was always athletic, always running. I was such an athletic person and know what Parkinson's can do to people, because I had just put my mother into the grave, who had Parkinson's for about 20 years, and she was in extremely advanced stages when she died. So I know what it, my sort of was, know what my future was, being 54 when I was diagnosed. So I was not very happy, and I was very depressed, and I didn't like my future. So when I went rock climbing, it was the most wonderful experience I had, because as soon as I got to the top, I felt like, you know, as I was climbing, I just instantly felt like a kid again. I felt like a 5-year-old. And it just puts such a hope and infusion of energy into me that I said, I think I'm going to do this again. So, because all other sports, I would tire out easier. But with rock climbing, because I was somewhat like weightless, I didn't have to support myself as I would if I would run or walk or whatever. It was type of easy exercises. And the rock climbing was just an exhilarating experience for me. So, yeah.
Well, I know, you know, I've heard part of your story, and I can imagine you mentioned depression, and exercise in general is so good for everyone, but it, the same for those of us that are living with Parkinson's and, you know, taking care of someone that you love with Parkinson's and then being diagnosed with Parkinson's. This sounds like this was really a great resource for you to be able to go in and climb and kind of not worry about that part of your life for a short bit of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just, the thing I loved about the rock climbing is that, I don't know, it's just what it did to me. It was just fun. It was just great. And I could do it, and I could do it easily, you know, and it wasn't something I had to be afraid of, although I was a bit afraid of the heights part of it for a while. But it was an exercise where I got a multi-workout. I got a strength workout. I got an aerobic workout. I got some stretching, you know, some really, you know, and also some, got some flexibility in there. And it's also like a puzzle, you know, you got to work my mind, you know. So yeah. It just was tremendous. It was a tremendous experience for me. So I was really excited to learn this new sport.
Well, I know you're really good at it. I watch you when I come, and you are a very skilled climber. And I would say that I aspire to be as good as you are. But the other person that's not been climbing very long, that's very, very skilled as well, is Teresa Bennett. Teresa, tell me what keeps you coming back and what benefits that you gain from climbing.
I think I was very depressed and not knowing what to do with the diagnosis. And I just, when I went to the gym and I saw Michelle and Molly, I just went for it. I don't know. I just wanted to try it out. I keep coming back because it was giving me something that I was looking for. And that was challenge. It was the motivation that when you get to the top, you get things done. And it's a very good feeling. The benefits, I can just tell you a couple of them, but it's just like I'm stronger, happier, great friends. I don't shuffle anymore like I used to. My hands are stronger, my fingers. In fact, when I did the Big and Loud program, the OT saw me a couple of times and said, Teresa, what I can do, I cannot do anything more for you than, you know, rock climbing. So when I see, I've been climbing, I was telling Michelle today, a year and a half. And it really, it changed my life completely in every single way. If I miss a session, it's because I am away from here. But otherwise, I'm there.
Yeah.
It is, well, fantastic.
It is really inspiring to watch both you and Michelle, and actually even all of our climbers. You have people that come in a wheelchair that, you know, they get, you know, hooked into their harness, and you watch them climb and you watch them feel better. And I think words that come to my mind when I hear you guys talk about, you know, what are the benefits? What was it like when you started climbing? What keeps you coming back? Words that go through my mind and resonate are the word normal. Like, I feel normal when I'm on the wall. I don't feel like I'm someone with Parkinson's. I feel like I'm someone that's exercising and enjoying the camaraderie of friendship. And that's another big aspect of climbing at Sport Rock with the Upending Parkinson's group, is that I feel like there's a really strong camaraderie. And so those are words that, you know, that I guess come to mind for me. But for both you, Teresa and Michelle, why don't you share what you would say to someone if they're out there listening and they think, yeah, that's all fine and good for those people. But what would you say if they said, I'm too old, I'm too far advanced in my disease, or I'm just too weak, I could never do that? Teresa, since you're finished, why don't you go ahead and share that first? And then Michelle, maybe you could just dovetail right on the end of Teresa's comments.
I just tell people, just give it a try. Just go. Don't think about whether you're too old, too young, or weak or strong, whatever. Just go. And then after one or two sessions, then you decide. But at least give it a try. That's what I say. People always have an excuse, like I'm afraid of heights, or I'm too weak, I'm too old, I'm too, whatever. But that's what I would just tell people. And I, here in my neighborhood, I have the chance to talk to other, you know, friends and neighbors. And that's what I would say, just to give it a try.
How about you, Michelle?
I would say the same thing. You know, it looks scary, but it's not. And I would say that, you know, if you're someone that has Parkinson's and someone that are, you know, that there's a strong tendency to a balance is an issue with Parkinson's as you progress in the disease, and the fear of falling, you know, as you're walking, even just walking or just standing up from a chair, you know, and it's one sport that you don't, you have the fear of falling because you're up on a rope and you think, you know, you're climbing, and you don't want to fall. But there's no fear of falling because, or fear of actually getting hurt, because
you're tied in and you're on a rope and you can't really hurt yourself. You really can't hurt yourself. You know, so it's actually almost counterintuitively, it's a very safe experience. And that's the reason why I really love this sport, because I know that I can always practice this sport and never really get hurt, never really break a hip or never do anything like that. Because I'm a lover of biking. I used to ride my bicycle miles and miles, and you know, every day before I was diagnosed. And I know that I can't ride. I won't continue to ride it. Now I don't continue to ride it on my own because I have that fear of falling and breaking my hip. And I don't want that experience. You know, I don't want a broken hip to set me back. So that's one thing I think that people should know, is that it does look scary, but it really isn't. And it's actually extremely safe. You know, there's nothing really, you know, health-wise that you, you know, bone-wise that you, or anything-wise really, that could hurt you as you climb.
Well, I think that's excellent information for people that are listening. Molly, I'd like to pivot back around to you for a minute. And as Michelle and Teresa have shared what that experience was like for them and is like for them, I'm wondering if maybe you could explain, you know, how do you set the expectation for someone that comes in and they're a first-time climber? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I'll talk on the expectations with first-time climbers. I just wanted to touch on something they both said real quick. They both mentioned about how they came in and how addictive it was. They didn't use that word. That's my choice of words, because it is addictive. But about how they just, something they loved about it and they wanted to come back. And I think that, you know, they have all these, you know, papers and protocols out with different exercises that you should do for Parkinson's. And I know Michelle touched on those, you know, the strength, the aerobic, the mobility, and all that stuff. And climbing does encompass all of that, but perhaps the most important thing is that you have an exercise that you can stick with, you know, something that you can long-term do. And I think that's probably the hardest thing to find. And then, so I think it's a great sport in that it's actually fun, you know, and it's social. And so there's people there that you get to experience this with. And that is one of the reasons I think people keep coming back, and our group doesn't get any smaller. It just keeps growing because people keep coming back. So I just want to touch on that. Now, first time experience. So what I find when someone reaches out to me and they want to come in for the first time, I try and talk to them on the phone if that's possible, because I feel like hearing their words and what their like fears are about it really helped me to talk to people. I always say, if I can just get somebody on the phone or talk to them in person, I can convince them to do it. But it really just takes still somebody approaching me, you know, if I'm at a booth talking about climbing, or, you know, reaching out to the organization and saying, you know, I might be interested in this. It's reaching those people that don't do that. That's the challenge. You know, anyone listening to this, maybe, you know, they're going, I don't want to try this. I just encourage them to reach out, and any fears that they have, you know, like Michelle mentioned, it's really not as scary as it sounds, and they can be managed. You know, if it's a fear of heights, you can start on shorter walls, go 4 steps off the ground, you know.
Yeah, it's building. You know, you may start out on a short wall or halfway up or whatever your baseline is, and then you get to challenge yourself each time that you climb. And I think there's another point for someone that lives far away like me and may not be able to come every week or 2-3 times a week. I only come once or twice a month usually. But when I do come, I gain something every time, and I don't always feel like I'm starting back from zero. So if you're a runner and you only run 1 3-mile run a month, it will just continue to be hard. But with rock climbing, each time I feel like I'm building on not only the skill, but the stamina and the strength. So I think it's no matter how often you climb, you can still do it. You don't have to do it every day to be good at it and to enjoy it.
I have something else I could like to share.
Sure, Michelle.
One thing I do also like about it is I've been to some other types of exercise programs for Parkinson's. For example, one was dance, and another one is yoga. not necessarily for Parkinson's, but just for those that are elderly and are sort of, you know, not necessarily bedridden, but just sort of like chair ridden. And it's, that's one thing I like to share. And that is, you know, some of us, as we grow, you know, get older and, you know, we have a lack of mobility. We just sometimes a lot of the exercises that are shared with us or group exercises tend to be exercises sitting in a chair. For example, you can go to the dance sessions and you can do sort of dancing, so just even sitting in your chair, just through movements of your arm, as well as even yoga. There's like a lot of chair yoga going on. But this is one exercise that you don't have to sit in a chair to do. It, no matter, even if you feel like you can only do exercises sitting in a chair, it's one exercise where you can get out of your chair and actually exercise. So that's why I would highly recommend it and encourage anyone that feels like they can only exercise if they're sitting in a chair. It's an opportunity for them to get out of their chair and to experience something that's quite exhilarating and actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, and for those that are, you know, wheelchair bound, how wonderful is it to be able to stand up for a while and not have to interact with people in that chair? Well, we're grateful for that, but at the same time, to be able to climb and, you know, have an exercise that is fun and is helpful. Molly, I know at the beginning we talked a little bit, or I think we did, about studies that have been done, but I understand that there's another study in the works through Upending Parkinson's. Is there anything that you can share with the listeners about that?
Yeah, so the study, hopefully it gets started in the new year, and it should be significantly bigger than the first study we did on Parkinson's and climbing. And really, it's a hard disease to study because it's progressive and there's on and off times. And I mean, the more I'm looking into it, the more I'm like, oh, wow, this is going to be hard to study. But, you know, we get enough people and pick the right outcome measures, and I think we'll see great, great results. I'm curious to see what the results are. I know picking the outcome measures, which is, you know, when you're doing a study, you test for something before, sometimes in the middle, sometimes at the end. And that's what you're looking to see, if it's changed in some way. And it's really hard because there's so many different things you could pick from. And in one study, for me to pinpoint, you know, what is the most beneficial thing for, like, people get out of climbing. And I think, fortunately and unfortunately for the study, that it's probably different for everybody, based on kind of what their symptoms are. And so it's a really hard thing to study and sum up in one test. So we're picking a few different outcome measures and definitely including the mental aspect of it as well. So the mood, seeing how people feel afterwards, which the first little pilot study we did had a very high number of people in the study saying that they felt better afterwards, which was a good indication.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you know, you increase your endorphins. Hopefully we're increasing a little dopamine while we're, you know, exercising. So certainly all good things. In addition to the upcoming study that you are looking into right now, what else is in the pipeline for Upending Parkinson's?
You know, I've been brainstorming with a few of the people in the group, and I think Michelle and Teresa and I will probably get together and get some good ideas going. But we talked about possibly doing a retreat of some sort, a weekend sort of retreat, inviting people from all over the country to come and join, because we do have people reach out to us from other areas. And we have had people join our group. You know, we had a young lady come from New York, and people drive a few hours to get there. But if we could make a 2 to 3 day event out of it and add in some other activities, I think we would be likely to get people willing to travel for it, because they want to try it anyway. And it's a good excuse, you know. That's one of the things I definitely want to do. We did an outdoor day, a climbing outdoor day, about a month ago now, which was, in my opinion, unbelievable. The day was great and everybody had so much fun, and there was so much success and happiness. It was a great experience. And that was the first time I'd done it with a group, and I definitely will be repeating that and possibly working that into the retreat we do as well. And really right now, since we have just recently become, you know, an organization where we just are finally get allowed to ask for grants and funding. So we are now officially accepting donations. And, you know, once we get a good amount of funding, stuff like the retreat will seem easy. It's just the planning part.
Yeah.
So
I think that kind of is a great segue into my next question. And there may be people out there in your area that are listening that are very intrigued and interested in coming to Climb, but they may think this is probably out of my price range. I'm living on a budget. Either I'm retired or I've had to leave my work because of Parkinson's. And so I would never be able to afford this. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Sure. So our sport rock group, the one that meets in Sterling once a week and Alexandria twice a week, is free. So it's completely free. Some of the people in our group want to come more than just those times. And so they come in on their own and use these devices called auto belays, which we could get into. But they do come in on their own and we have a discounted membership. That is just our gym, but the upending programs we're starting elsewhere, we're trying to provide funding for so that they can be affordable. It might not be free everywhere in the country, but we're working on making it affordable because I know there's high cost to having Parkinson's disease in general.
Yeah. There may be someone out there, Molly, that's listening that doesn't have Parkinson's, or maybe even they do, and they're interested in donating so that others can access, that need it, can access this sport at a reasonable cost. If someone's out there listening and would like to make a donation, or maybe they want to climb, how would they get in touch with you?
So I can give you a few different ways. First, I would say our website, which is upendingparkinsons.com. That there's a donation link on that page. There's information on that page. There's an email on that page. If you don't want to go to an email, I mean, to a website, you just want to go straight to the email, it's upendingparkinsons@gmail.com. And really, those are the best ways. If you reach out to me, I'll get back to you and see what we can do.
Well, we're just about to wrap it up for today. I do want to ask all three of you. I'll start with you, Teresa, then Michelle, and then I'll allow Molly to have the last word. Is there anything else that someone out there living with Parkinson's should know about rock climbing or that you think you would like to share with them? Teresa, what do you say?
One thing is that when I was diagnosed, I thought that my life just ended. So I the rock climbing gave me the purpose that someone told me about it. So finding that it just took over. Like I felt that I knew it. This is the purpose that I was looking for. And that was it. So anybody who's listening to this podcast, I would just say to give it a try. Because God knows what that person is gonna find in rock climbing.
I appreciate that you shared that. You know, purpose and connectivity, or being connected with other people, is really associated with longer longevity, more than things that we think of, such as our diet or our income level and things of that nature. So very important, connection and purpose. How about you, Michelle? Anything that you want people out there to know about specific to rock climbing and how it's impacted your life?
Yes, sure. Well, just like Teresa, I just want to agree with her and just reaffirm what she just said, that, you know, it definitely has put purpose in my life. I would say, like, there's life after diagnosis of Parkinson's. you know, and what the cool thing about the rock climbing is that it's such a warm community of people, you know, it's warm and it's extremely supportive. It's a very supportive community, not within our group ourselves, you know, our Parkinson's group, all the come, you know, whether you have Parkinson's or not, whether you're, you know, a care, you know, your companion, your, you know, husband, your spouse, whatever, or your friend that brings you, or, and all the volunteers that come to help us, you know, that help us belay, that manage the rope while we're climbing the walls. It's just such a warm community, and it's very therapeutic to be with each other. And there's a lot of companionship, and you're not alone. You know, sometimes, but the big thing about Parkinson's is you feel like you're the only one in the world like this, and you become more and more and more alone, you know, sort of start to shut off. But this is an opportunity to come and turn on, you know, to realize that you can have friends, you can communicate, you can be part of a group, and you can feel like you belong, but, you know, you don't have to shut off. So anyways, that's what I thoroughly enjoyed. So thank you so much for asking.
Thank you for sharing that. You know, Molly, before you share the last thing that you would like to share, maybe you'll want to touch on this and dovetail to what I'm going to say, but I do want to give a shout out to our volunteers. They come faithfully, and I know that that's part of the reason why you're able to provide such a great program to people in your area, in the Alexandria and Sterling area, is that there are people that faithfully come weekly so that others can take advantage of this program. So Molly, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, I will. I'll just speak to the volunteers. Volunteers are fantastic with our group, and we wouldn't be able to do it without them. Absolutely not. And really, the participants and everybody who comes makes it worth it 100%. I don't know how to explain that any other way, but the volunteers that come sometimes have to twist my arm because I tell them we have enough volunteers, and they still are just begging to come. And so, I mean, last Wednesday I bowed out. I said I would just stand around if this guy wanted to come in and really, really, really want to belay, and he did. And so I think that the group, it just speaks to how fun the group is and what the atmosphere is like in the group, that it's just genuinely a blast to be there. As far as rock climbing, you asked me the last time what I had learned from the group. And I hadn't thought about it until that second you asked me. And I thought about many things since then, but this just popped in my head right now. And I just want to speak that there's a lot of people, you know, like Michelle and Teresa, who I've known for a long time now at this point. And I've watched them over the years and really got to know them really well. And I got to know their, you know, kind of home life, their habits, what they do outside of the gym, and lots of stuff about them, which is fantastic, getting to know people like that. But it's just how much you put into your life, you get that much back out of it. And I see that in people over and over again. So it's like, I'll just point out the people that put a lot out into their life, you know, and it's, you know, all three of you really are people who just work really hard to just be your best self. And it just shows. And not only does it show with like how you are as a person, but it really shows that, I mean, with the Parkinson's, the Parkinson's, I feel like, progresses slower with the people who put themselves out there. And it's pretty neat to see people who keep coming back really are doing well.
Yeah, you know, I think, Molly, that one thing that's provided every time that I come and I watch other people climb and I climb, And it's hope. And, you know, hope is not a plan, certainly, but it is a motivator. And when we have hope, we're able to engage in our life in a whole different way than when we're hopeless, when we're not connected. So I just want to thank all three of you for sharing this important information on how exercise, but specifically rock climbing, impacts the quality of your life for those that are living with Parkinson's. And thank you for listening today. Don't forget to subscribe, and I'll see you Tuesday.